Take your Bibles tonight, today, this morning. When is it?
Morning.
And go to Ephesians chapter 2. Last week we looked at a great truth that we learn in the Word. And when we understand this truth, it helps us to understand other things. And understand things going on in life and understand other things in the Word that we might not understand, and that is that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. You know, when you understand that truth, it helps you to understand, you know, God doesn't take people home. He doesn't kill people. He doesn't cause catastrophes and floods and all that other stuff. He doesn't, because God is light and Him is no darkness at all. And the Word of God is principles. It's God sets out principles, that spiritual principles that rule the universe. We just practice the principle of giving and receiving. You know, God talks about sharing of your abundance, of your plurality and giving. And when you give, He blesses you back. He will prosper you as you give. And we know the principle of believing, that we, you know, when we pray, we have to pray with believing. When we ask God for something, we have to believe, and it has to be according to what He makes available, right? According to His Word, and so on and so forth. So we want to learn these principles and these basic great truths and apply them in life. Now, there can be great intricacies in the Word and all that stuff, and you can study, but the basic principles of living life are pretty easy. And one of the great principles in life is loving and giving to God. It says in verse 19 of chapter 2, did I tell you Ephesians?
Yeah.
Chapter 2. Okay. So we want to look today at the foundation for life, the foundation of our life. It says, for through Him, through Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. This is obviously speaking to Christians, those that are born again, who have...
Verse 18.
Sorry. That to people that have Spirit. And it goes on, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So when you get that Spirit, you are then no longer a stranger. You know? Stranger is somebody you don't know, right? You've heard the term xenophobia. Xenophobia is, they say it about people that are don't like other people of different races or nationalities or religions. But the word xeno is really the word for stranger or alien. And phobia means fear of somebody that you don't know. We're not foreigners with God anymore. Once we're born again, we're part of His family. We're fellow citizens, and we are of the household of God's family. Not just extended family, not, you know, distant cousins, but we're in the household. We're the immediate family. We're His sons and daughters. And we are built upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Okay, well, what did the apostles and prophets give us? The Word of God, right? That's what they gave us. Paul the apostle wrote down this particular epistle as God gave him revelation. Prophets are those that speak to and for God. One of their main things is to call God's people back to Him when they go astray. And Jesus Christ, of course, is the Word of God incarnate. And it's all the promises of God, all the things written down in the Old Testament, all the prophecies, the law was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And all the promises and all that we have and are in Christ Jesus. Okay, so that's the foundation of our life. So, the foundation is the Word of God, and the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, is Jesus Christ. Now, in today's society and building and architecture, the chief cornerstone is not a big deal because they have lasers and computers. But when they built the temple in Jerusalem, all the stones had to be cut off-site. There was to be no hammering and banging and cutting or any of that stuff at the site of the temple. That was what God said. So they had to have the blueprint or whatever they had, you know, papyri, and they had pictures, whatever, and they had to cut the stones. And the first stone that they would lay would be the chief cornerstone. Okay, and that cornerstone had to be in the perfect place, and it had to be cut exactly because everything was built off of the cornerstone, that chief cornerstone. It had to be perfect. That's why Jesus Christ is our chief cornerstone, because he is perfect and we are built upon him. Pretty cool, huh? Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. That gives you chills just to think about it. How perfectly God set it up. Chapter 22 of Matthew. We're going to start in verse 34, and this is Jesus Christ talking. Jesus Christ talking, well, it's about Jesus Christ, and beginning in verse 34 says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together." The Sadducees had confronted Jesus Christ and tried to tempt him, and he was so smart and turned the situation around that they were dumbfounded. They were put to silence. They had nothing else to say. You know, you ever see that happen? You know, somebody's bragging or saying something or tries to put you in a corner and you turn it around and they're just like, okay. That's what Jesus Christ did to the Sadducees. So then the Pharisees said, "Well, we know more than the Sadducees. Let us take a shot at it." Then one of them, which was a lawyer, lawyers always get involved. Except that's not the kind of lawyer they were. This means that he was a student of the Old Testament law of Moses. Asked him a question, tempting him. So when he said, asked him a question, tempting him, he's not asking him a question to learn something, is he? It's not an honest question to learn. It's a question to tempt him, to try to trap him. Kind of like newspaper reporters, when they're talking to politicians, they try to trap them and ask them trick questions. Tempted him, saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Now, if you were to go back into the Old Testament and look at the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. Okay? You know, "You shall have no other gods before you. Thou shalt not worship idols. Thou shalt not take the name of God in vain. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath." Okay? Those are the first four commandments. The next six commandments have to do with our relationship with people. And how we live life. So then it's, you know, "Honor thy father and mother, and you shall have long life. And then thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not bear false witness." What's the other one? I can't remember. Anyway, six of them. They all pertain to how we deal with people. So the first and great commandment, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength," covers all four of the first four commandments, doesn't it? Actually, the fourth one, to keep the Sabbath day, doesn't apply to us anymore, because in Galatians it says we're not to be observers of days and seasons and times, and there's no requirement to have a Sabbath day. We're to have every day is holy unto the Lord. That's even better. Every day is holy unto the Lord. We can walk with God every day. We can go before God's throne of grace at any moment of any time. They can only do it on certain days. Okay, and then the next thing he says is, What? He says, and the second great commandment is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay, so the six commandments after that dealing with people is covered by this. Pretty simple, huh? Which is love thy neighbor as thyself. Who is thy neighbor? Believers, each other, us-ins, fellow citizens, right? We're the fellow citizens and of the household of God. That's who your neighbor is. Doesn't mean you can't be nice to your next door neighbor, but in the context, this is talking about us in the body of Christ. In his case, he was talking about Israel, okay? But it still applies. And it says, on these commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So these are the two great commandments set out by Jesus Christ on how to live life. You know, and if we do those two, life is pretty easy. Now, are there some details to add to this? Sure there are. But if you're walking in that love, endeavoring to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself, God's going to work with you. You know, if your heart's right and you're walking in love, God's going to work with you. And he'll teach you the details as you read the word and study. He'll fill in the gaps for you when you need it. And you'll fill them in because you love God. And if you love God, you're going to love his word, aren't you? If you love God, you love his word. If you love God, you love his son, Jesus Christ. And if you love God, you become sold out to loving. Because that's what God did. Let's go to John chapter 3. You know, just because something is simple does not mean that it does not have great depth. You know, again, you're going to be bombarded by television commercials over the next 4 months telling you why this politician knows more than that politician. And if you listen to these guys, they know everything in the world. I mean, they're experts in everything and anything. In reality, nobody knows one-tenth of what they say they know. And, you know, they make everything complicated. And they say, well, you know, this is a complicated issue and it has complicated answers. In reality, the simplest answer is usually the best answer. 99.9% of the time, a simple answer is the best answer. It doesn't mean it doesn't have depth. It doesn't mean it doesn't have substance. It's just straightforward and simple, you know? Well, chapter 3, verse 16 is a simple, straightforward verse. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That has so much in that verse. I mean, you could think about that verse for the next year and not run out of enjoyment, enrichment. It's a thrill. First of all, it says that God is he loves, right? He loves so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, we know that lots of times people will die for other people. You know, parents will die to save a child, right? People will risk their lives to save dogs. You ever see on the TV, you know, a dog falls through the ice on a pond and a guy will crawl out and try to save the dog or a horse or, you know, people will risk their lives to save people and things, you know, but would you sacrifice your child to save somebody else? That's over and above. That's over and above. So God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. Not only does that tell us how great his love was, but it also tells us how great his commitment was to love. His love was fully committed. He didn't hold back anything. Full commitment. No matter what, he was committed to that love. And he knew that a lot of people wouldn't appreciate it. He knew a lot of people wouldn't believe. but he was still willing to do it. And he knew what Jesus Christ was going to have to go through, didn't he? He knew that. Jesus Christ knew it because in the garden, on the last night, he asked God if there was any other way. Pretty incredible. That whosoever believeth in him, in Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that tells you how to get born again, how to believe. You know, you believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to get everlasting life. You believe in what he did. You know, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're born again. You have everlasting life. Again, what a great commitment God made to us. You know, in the Old Testament, he made great promises to Abraham. Abraham was counted righteous for his believing. But all the things that he promised Abraham were upon conditions. Everything that he promised David, the great king, were upon conditions. Ours is unconditional. Unconditional. Wow, what a great thing. What a great commitment God made. How deep is that verse? How wonderful is that verse? Let's go to Romans. Chapter 13. You know, we studied last week, we saw that verse where it says, God is light and him is no darkness at all. And then in another place it says, there is no shadow of turning. You know, and then when you read John 3:16, that God so loved the world, and you put those verses together, you see how great God really is and how loving he is and how much he cares for us. And then, you know, you look around at Christianity and all they're teaching is sin. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that. If you're a sin, you're born again, but if you sin, you got to do it all over again. You might go to hell. That's not the way God set it up. You know, if you could lose it and have to get born again, then it wouldn't be everlasting life, would it? Because if it's everlasting, that means you can't lose it. Chapter 13 of Romans, verse 8, owe no man anything. Now, you have to read the context of that to understand it, but it has nothing to do with having a debt. It has nothing to do with having a mortgage on your house or a debt for your car. It just has to do with respect for God's ministers and working in the body of Christ. And so it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. You know, we're to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. He that loveth another hath fulfilled. What did Jesus Christ say? All this hangs the law and the prophets, right? Well, when we love, we fulfill the law. Now, we're not under the law, are we? But we are under the law of Christ, which is to walk in love, to live love. Then it goes on, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, it has nothing to do with God here because this section of Scripture, the context is living within the body of Christ. Okay? That's the context. So how are we to live life? We're to love our neighbor. Does your neighbor always deserve love? Doesn't talk about the deserving love, does it? It doesn't talk about liking the way they are, or the clothes they wear, or the neighborhood they live in, or their background, or their race, or anything else. It just says love. If they're born again, they deserve love. That's all that matters. Then it goes on to say in verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. It says it twice. Love is the fulfilling of the law. You know, if you want to walk with God, if you want to see the greatness of God in your life, you have to walk with love. You have to love thy neighbor. First and foremost, we are to love the believers, the fellowship, the ones that are born again, whether they deserve it or not. Does that mean we have to be complicit if they do something stupid or ignorant? No. But we can still love them, right? What a great thing. Who walked and loved and fulfilled all the law? Jesus Christ, right. And we have Christ in us. So therefore, we have that ability to walk in love. Nobody has an excuse. You know, people always look for excuses why they do dumb things or ruin their lives. You know, well, my parents didn't do this, or my best friend did this, or my brother did this to me, blah, blah, blah. So what? That's not an excuse to ruin your life. You know, they ruined their lives or they did stupid things. So what? That should not affect you because you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. God loves you. Let's go back to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 9. And this is in the context of renewed mind, right? And serving and functioning in the body of Christ. And it says, let love be without dissimulation. The word dissimulation is hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite. Which literally means a false face. You know, don't put on a smile when you don't mean it. Don't say I love you when you don't mean it. Don't say I'm praying for you when you're not praying for him. Don't, you know, without a false face. What you see is what you get, right? I love you. I'm going to walk in love to the best of my ability. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Abhor. Have great disdain, hate. And that means to avoid at all costs. When you walk in love without hypocrisy, you avoid evil at all costs. And cling to that which is good. What's good? God's good. Somebody said, good master to Jesus Christ. And he said, oh no, only God is good. Jesus Christ didn't even include himself in being good. He included God only. Pretty cool. Then it goes on, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. We should prefer one another. Does that mean we don't have any contact with unbelievers? You know, it would be not good. Well, first of all, it's an impossibility unless you go off and start a commune somewhere in the middle of nowhere and become self-sufficient. There was a group of Christians back in the early 1900s called the Shakers, and they were not allowed to marry and have children. So, you know what? There's no more Shakers left. They're all gone. Other groups have withdrawn and turned inward and not lived in the world. And they shrink and end up with nothing. You know, they no followers. You know, we're not of the world, but we live in the world. We prefer one another, but we get opportunities to speak and teach people about God. And, you know, we do the best we can. But we don't succumb to those unbelievers. We don't succumb to the world and their ways of life and their living. And we walk in love one towards another, and we prefer one another. Then it goes, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Well, okay, let's see, I skipped over. Be kindly affectionate with one another, brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business in reference to your spiritual service. It has nothing to do with your job. Now, are you to work for God in your job? Are you to glorify God? Sure you are. But you're not slothful in your spiritual walk, in your living in the body of Christ. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. See, they're opposite. Not slothful, but fervent in spirit. It's a figure of speech. Two things saying the opposite, meaning the same, to emphasize. You know, you're to be very diligent in your spiritual service. Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given the hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Bless them that persecute you. You know, so if somebody tries to curse you or do you evil, what do? Punch them in the nose. Yeah, you bless them and move on. Bless them and move on. And it goes on and talks how we are to love our enemies and do our best. Christianity, true Christianity, is about doing and loving. It's not about sin and condemnation. It's not worrying about where you stop or where you go or how you dress. It's about walking in love, first and foremost, in the body of Christ, and then secondly, towards all men. Towards all men. Verse 17, it says, recompense no man evil for evil. That means no paybacks, no revenge. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. We're to be upfront and honest. If at all possible, as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, there may be opportunities where it's not possible to live peaceably. But wherever it is, you live peaceably. Wherever it is, you do your best to be at peace. If, you know, somebody gets the parking place before you, God bless you. You must need it more than me. You know? Whatever. Beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, to walk around wanting revenge or all that stuff is just a lot of energy wasted on stupid things. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And that's an Orientalism, meaning you're blessing him. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, it says in Proverbs, a soft word turneth wrath. Turneth away wrath. Right. Okay, let's go to Honduras. Now let's go to Peter, 1 Peter. We don't want to go to Honduras. At least I don't. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The end of all things meaning, you know, it's the end times. How long is the end times going to last? Could be 1,000 years. Could be 2,000. Could be 3,000. Doesn't matter. You know, what's 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord? So, the end times are at hand. Be therefore sober, you know, of a whole mind, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity. Fervent what? Love. The love of God and a renewed mind and manifestation among yourselves. Fervent means passionate. It's the word thumos. It means boiling hot, white hot, passionate. It's the same word that's used concerning being of one accord in Acts. That's homothumadon, being unanimous in your passions to do. Believe God, prayer, help the believers, and it can be used in a negative sense too. But here it's fervent charity, passionate, hot love among yourselves. For charity, for the love of God, shall cover the multitude of sins. You know, even if you don't do the exact right thing, but if you're walking in love, God will cover. He's got your back. You see? He'll cover a multitude of sins. You know, and I know that God has covered a multitude of sins for me. He just has. There are times where I've done some stupid things, but I loved God and I loved people around me, and so God covered. What a great God. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're to be good stewards of the manifold grace. What is grace? Grace is favor, divine favor, giving when it's undeserving, right? It's undeserved divine favor. So we give favor to each other, not because we deserve it, but because that's what we're to do. You know? Okay, I'll be nice to you if you do this for me. No, I'll be nice to you, period. That's all. I don't care what you do to me. And you know what? If you live life that way, if you don't worry about how people treat you, if you're more concerned about how you treat them, life's a blast. It's a lot better. You just enjoy it more. You know, when you go around all the time cranked up over something and mad about stuff, it just steals your joy. You know, it just does. It's not worth the trouble. Not at all. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not, chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We have the power and we have the spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. A whole mind, you know. We have a whole mind and we can love with a whole mind, not a unsound mind. Then in verse 13 it says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in believing and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Okay, we have that sound words, and we hold fast to them in believing God, believing the promises of God, believing who we are in Christ, and we hold fast to it in love. We love. Love is to be how we operate, how we live our life. Let's go to Ephesians. Going full cycle here. We start in Ephesians, we're going to close in Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. You know, we're to walk worthy of being sons of God. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You know, somebody pushes you to the limit. Somebody just wears you out. What are you supposed to do? Forbear in love. That means endure. Be forbearing in love. Endeavoring, being absolutely diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And let's go to chapter 5, verse 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Well, what did we just read about God? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, we're to be imitators of God. God is light and him is no darkness at all. We are read that we are to abhor evil and cleave to that which is good. That's all imitating God, right? As much light in your life as you can possibly get and get rid of as much darkness as you can possibly get. And verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. How much did Christ love us? To the ultimate, as much as you could love. And hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So if we're walking in the love of God, and we're doing our best, we're going to be totally committed to loving. You know, we're going to love our neighbors. We're going to love God. We're going to love his Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to love his word. And we're going to walk in love toward all men. What a great thing. I was going to read you a poem, sort of, which I've read before, and I know most of you have heard it, but if you haven't, it'll bless you, I hope. Called Anyway. It kind of goes along with this teaching. People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and real enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Be good anyway. And that's true. I know that. Honesty and frankness will make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People need to help, but may attack you if you try to help them. Help them anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. It's a great... So anyway. Let's love each other and eat burgers and dogs and chicken and have a nice afternoon. So.